Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. A Juneau man who's been staying at a local shelter for unhoused people has not been seen by staff in more than 2 weeks and has been reported missing. Junior Lama Siu Fanufa is 38 years old and was last seen at the Glory Hall in the Mendenhall Valley on February 9th. Deputy Chief Craig Campbell says the Juneau Police Department is seeking any information from people who know Siu Fanufa or may know his whereabouts.
During the investigative phase, we try to gather as much information we can from the complainant or other people that may know him to like his, where are the places he would frequent.
Glory Hall Executive Director Kaya Quinto says residents come and go from the shelter as they please. But she says Siu Fanufa left his personal belongings behind and still has not returned for them.
The Glory Hall is very worried about him, and hopefully it gives us and the community answers, and I hope that he's okay.
Anyone with information about Siu Fanua's whereabouts should call JPD's non-emergency line at 907-586-0600. Winter maintenance of streets, supporting schools and public safety are the top of budget priorities of more than 4,000 Juneau residents who took a city budget survey earlier this year. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, the data will help inform the Juneau Assembly as it decides what services to fund or potentially cut to mend a multi-million-dollar budget hole.
Juneau residents had a lot to say about how they'd like to see the city prioritize its funding ahead of this year's difficult budgeting season. That's according to a presentation given at the Juneau Assembly's Committee of the Whole meeting Monday night, outlining the results of a recent city budget survey. Melani Shivens is the owner of Rain Coast Data, which conducted the survey. She says 4,400 residents responded to the survey and wrote more than 6,000 comments to the city.
That's equivalent to the community of Juneau collaboratively writing Moby Dick.
The survey comes after last fall's municipal election, when Juneau voters approved municipal tax cuts, which created an estimated $10 to $12 million recurring hole in the city's budget. The Juneau Assembly has until July 1st to figure out how to mend that gap. But before it makes any major decisions, the city put out the survey to ask residents to help inform the Assembly. The survey asked residents to pick from a list which city programs and services are most important to fund, and which services are least important to fund. The city released the 474-page results to the public on Monday. According to the results, the city service most respondents selected to prioritize is winter maintenance of streets, roads, and bridges, with 58% of people putting it in their top priority. After winter maintenance, more than half of the respondents agreed on prioritizing schools and K-12 education and public safety, including police, fire, and EMS. Here's Raincoast Data's Melani Shivens again.
So really just the core elements that the municipality provides, the community said, these are the things that we do not want to cut. This was the do not want to cut question.
Shivens said that the survey was intentionally designed so that respondents could only choose a handful of priorities out of a large list of city services.
Someone said, I had to leave off choices I strongly support to keep my list short. And I think that encapsulates this very well. It was a forced prioritization exercise.
On the flip side, surveyors were also asked to rank what services from that same list they'd support budget cuts to. The data shows 62% of respondents chose tourism management and visitor infrastructure, followed by 44% who chose climate action and energy efficiency, and about a third who chose economic development and workforce support as their lowest priorities for funding. City programs and services like recreation facilities, libraries, museums, arts and culture, and trails and parks landed somewhere in the middle between most people's top and lowest priorities.
Choosing to make cuts there or choosing not to make cuts there will be controversial because there's a similar level of support or some level of support on each of those top 10 lists.
Residents were also asked how they felt about the city and borough of Juneau overall. 45% of respondents said they felt positive, while 55% felt neutral or negative. The city asked respondents to rank community values, and the one most chosen was, quote, making Juneau a place where working-age residents and young families can live, work, and stay long-term. The Assembly must finalize its budget before July 1st. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
The Juneau Planning Commission unanimously approved a conditional use permit last night for a two-story retail and entertainment building called Alaska Fly and Dive in the heart of downtown Juneau's tourism corridor. The project would sit on a one-acre empty lot next to the downtown library and parking garage. It's just steps from the Seawalk, where 1.7 million cruise ship tourists walk off each summer. Reuben Willis, a local insurance agent, is the applicant for the project and the founder of Alaska Wonder Experience. He outlined the project to the Planning Commission on Tuesday.
This lot has been vacant now for 39 years, and it's time for a world-class project that will benefit visitors and local both.
The development would include three large interactive theaters slash rides and some office space. The proposal includes a 60-person 4D theater, a 72-person flying theater, and a 20-person ocean simulator theater. The flying theater and ocean simulator theater would take guests via immersive films to seek local glaciers, landscapes, and on underwater adventures. Willis says the flying theater would allow more people to see sights they'd otherwise be limited to see due to cost, weather, or health.
We're offering one of the most unique and demographically widely appealing attractions on the planet that captures the wonder of Alaska. Something beautiful, meaningful, and memorable.
He says the goal is to open the venue in 2027, but that might be pushed back. According to his application with the city, the project is estimated to cost at least $60 million. Willis says the project will create new jobs, tax revenue for the city, and reduce downtown congestion. He says it will also benefit locals by becoming a civic and educational venue for residents and students during the tourism off-season. And language educators in Juneau are working to create a master's in teaching program for teaching Indigenous languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. It will be the first of its kind in Alaska. Tlingit language professor Hune Lance Twitchell talked about the possible future degree program during KTOO's Juneau Afternoon last week.
And as we look at how our language is taught in Alaska, who teaches them? What are their qualifications? What are they permitted to do in the current school systems? Mm. And what they're permitted to do is just not enough.
The program would be for those who want to go into teaching Alaska Native languages to all ages. There are more than 20 distinct Indigenous languages throughout the state. Twitchell said the program has some steps ahead of it before prospective students can enroll.
This degree has to go before the Board of Regents. And so we're very hopeful that they will see the value in it. They'll see the need. They'll see the demand. I think it's maybe one of two programs that are like it, perhaps in all of North America.
Twitchell said while Southeast Alaska Native languages have endured and continue to grow, they should still be prioritized and with urgency by schools and communities.
But to be able to get to that is going to take some monumental shifts in the way that we do things, which is really hard today because one of the things that a colonial government likes to do is pretend that there's no time, there's no money, everything's already spoken for.
Twitchell said this program would create more pathways for educators who can advocate for time, money, and effort to go into revitalizing Indigenous languages. University officials are currently reviewing the proposal. After that, it'll be up to the University of Alaska Board of Regents to decide whether to approve the program. And at least 10 high school students from around the globe are in Alaska right now as exchange students. Some of them come to the United States through federal programs that aim to build cultural connections between the U.S., former Soviet Union nations, and countries with a predominantly Muslim population. Several exchange students gathered in Juneau earlier this month for a student orientation. KTOO's Jamie Deep spoke with some of them living in Juneau, Sitka, and Anchorage, and sent along this audio postcard.
My name is Ray Fadilla, and I'm an exchange student from Indonesia. I live here in downtown Juneau. I also went to school here at JDHS, Juneau Douglas High School. Juneau itself was so diverse, like people's beliefs, race, and sexualities, and genders, beliefs, those kind of stuff. It's very diverse to the point that I'm friends with every kind of human. Everybody in here was so accepting and very open-minded about differences to the point that we see differences as not stuff to be divided on, but something to be learned about.
I'm Hala Dana from Palestine. It's been like really cool because East High School in Anchorage is actually one of like the most diverse high schools. And it's really cool because all the students there are really open to like learn about the exchange students and the people from other countries. It actually feels so like unreal being in the U.S. because it's always been like part of my dream. In Palestine, like we thought we were like, I was like safe and stuff. But now that I'm actually out of that country, like you actually know what safety is, you know? So it actually feels really nice to be here. And it's a really great opportunity.
So my name is Juliet Siak and my last name is Reimer. So I'm an exchange student from Greenland. I'm in Juneau. I'm a native Inuit in Greenland. So there's some people that are native Inuit in Alaska. So I meet Tlingit people. So the culture, sometimes it could be very different. But the food that we have, like salmon, halibut, and seals, like deers, but we eat reindeer in Greenland, caribou. So the way we eat is very, very similar. For me, it's safety to live in Juneau. So if I'm in Law 48, maybe I will go home. The situation that I'm in right now with the Greenland and America, my friends, I keep supporting me. It gave me strength, and my host family and their friends and my soccer teammates are supporting me a lot. Because of them, I'm doing good. I'm doing very good right now.
My name is Manal Shad, and I'm from Pakistan. When we came here, everything was really hard because the language was new, people were new, their culture and how they engage with people, to each other. It was really hard. And the most hard for us was like adjusting with the food, especially adjusting with the light. Because when we came here, it was like the sunset was at 10 p.m. and I was really amazed about that. And it was so hard to sleep. I'm doing skiing right now, and I know that a lot of people, like in Pakistan, we have snow in the mountains, but people are not even like introduced to the skiing. So I'm looking forward to learn more stuff about downhill skiing. So when I go back to Pakistan, so I can introduce Pakistani people and especially the girls from my area to skiing.
Those were exchange students who are living in Alaska right now. And Alaska senators moved forward with a new version of Governor Mike Dunleavy's tax bill last week. It bears little resemblance to the bill the governor proposed earlier this year as part of his broader fiscal plan. The Senate Resources Committee version strips out the governor's sales tax proposal, which received fierce criticism from legislators, local leaders, and the public. It also dispenses with the governor's proposal to end corporate income taxes in the early 2030s and adds a $20 to $60 yearly income tax to support public education. The biggest change in the bill is a major shift to the way the state would calculate oil taxes. Instead of taxing net profits, the state would base its tax on the gross value of the oil itself. The new Senate version also drops some must-haves from Governor Dunleavy's fiscal plan. Dunleavy's tax plan was linked to limits on state spending and a constitutionally guaranteed permanent fund dividend. But with senior senators skeptical of those limits, the new version of the tax plan would stand alone. Bipartisan majority members passed the bill out of the Senate Resources Committee on a 5-2 vote on Wednesday, with the two minority Republicans opposed. This is KTOO.